Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I get to be just one penalty-free transfer per kit, and that if that happened, he thinks it would solve a lot of the problems. I mean, I think, you know, that makes sense, but, you know, why stop at one, you know? What if
exactly. They get all the freedom they want in terms of being able to get in and out of these contracts with buyouts. They can move on from kids. It's hard. It just feels hypocritical in a way.
It does.
To limit them. I get what he's saying.
Yes.
We need some sort of structure. It feels
some
out of control.
Rails, yeah.
We're kind of dealing with the chaos right now. And
yeah.
Like we used to say, you get with it, you get hit with it.
That's right.
If you don't like it, get out of the business. Plenty,
yep.
Plenty have, and plenty seem to want to stay in it and adjust.
There's no question
about
that.
Penny certainly has.
Well, I would say to Penny Hardaway in Memphis, you know, what you say on the sign-off, keep grinding.
Mm.
Keep grinding.
Keep chopping at that tree.
You know what I mean? And it sounds like Penny's going to keep doing that.
Man, in the foxhole. Sounds like he's not coming out anytime soon.
Yep. Anyway, lots to marinate on there. But, feels like Fred Smith is the guy they're going to take as a freshman at this point. He's 2026, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know.
Yeah. Fred's, yeah, exactly. He's got to be 22. He's been there forever.
Right. So, you know, you don't want to bring in too many, though. That's the thing. Because if you bring in too many, then you really have a bunch of guys not playing.
No, but if you can keep Givens in the program, you keep Tedford in the program, you got Fred Smith coming up in, and all of a sudden you got a little Memphis
exactly.
Again in your program that can certainly help you.
Yes.
In terms of those ties, again,
for
and
sure.
Getting people invested, having Memphis can't hurt. And certainly having good Memphis ones, and, having Fred with that group could be very well that kind of group.
Absolutely.
A good one for you again.
All right.
Like Alex and Tyler were. They were good for you.
Yeah, they're very good for you,
yeah.
And it's good to have a couple of those.
Yeah.
It certainly can't hurt. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason Fitz will join us at 125. We'll talk NFL with him, Titans, game day possibilities, all that and more. J&J, 90 FM, ESPN. Welcome back. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. I saw a really funny thing yesterday that's probably not a rundown item because rundown is like news. But I'm going to put the headlines off for a minute and just talk about this thing that the Celtics did yesterday. Did you see what they did at Celtics facility yesterday?
Mm-mm.
So they told the media to come to practice tomorrow, ready to play a media game. You guys are going to have a media game.
I remember those.
Now you were in one of those with the Grizzlies way back when.
Those were fun.
You played against each other, right?
Yep.
Who was on your team back then? You remember?
On my team, Nikki.
Nikki Boardman. Yep.
Run for Todd for the CA.
That all right.
Point. I don't know. I'm not going down the roster.
I'm sorry. Well, I thought it might be.
I think Dr. Tillery was out there, your favorite. No, you've been pulling for him. I don't know if a round of applause was necessary, but
I'll get on
a certain level of respect.
I'll get on Tillery's ass. Mm-hmm. He ain't no legend.
Yeah, it's personal.
He's a bitch.
I'm sorry.
See, it's personal.
I'm
and
sorry.
It's real.
He made it that.
And it's real.
And he didn't have, but
there's no games.
Tillery didn't have the nuts to talk about my kid's physical appearance with his name. And I actually, and let me say this while it got brought up, I called him man to man. I called him twice man to man. And I left
phone
him.
Call.
Oh, yeah. Because he came at my son. He came at my son's physical appearance via his burner. No, I mean, it's that bad, right? Like, I mean, it you can't even believe that he would do that.
Somebody's kid low, so low.
And we did the investigative work, and we found out that this account was actually run by, and he still tweets from these same accounts. And
it's like a burner.
It's a burner. I called him twice, left him a message. He never returned my call nor picked it up.
It's sad to see.
It shows you what kind of man he was, right? And I think it's a little shameful.
I was tongue in cheeking on
no,
the applause,
no, no, no,
John,
no, no. But I wanted to get this off. Believe me, it's been on my heart.
Yeah.
And it's a little shameful, in my opinion, that the commercial appeal employed a person like that for so long. A real snake and weasel of a man, a bitch of a man, and can't even he takes shots at my child on the internet. But won't even pick up the phone to face me on it to when I confront him about it, right? Yeah. So Ron Tillery is a straight bitch. But no, the Celtics did a media game, and they thought they were going to play each other like you did back in the day. Mm-hmm. And Mazzulla comes to the podium before the game starts. He said, "Oh, damn, I hate to break this to you guys. You're not playing each other. You're playing us." And it's Joe Mazzulla.
All the coaches.
Phil Pressey. Emile Jefferson. God Sham God. Okay, this is the Celtics coaches, right? It's not like a bunch of like old, you know, Bob Thornton running around. Okay, all love to Bob Thornton. I love Bob Thornton. But yeah, he and there's video. Dude, they won the game 57-4.
Good Lord.
They won the game 57-4.
That's one way to get a little payback.
That was the media. And then they did have a media game, but only after the 57-4 pummeling. I just loved that idea. I thought it's like a great way to, like, you know, hey, give back to the media a little bit, you know, give them some love. You know what I'm saying? I know the Grizzlies haven't done the media game in a while because of, I gather, liability back in the day. Balls were getting thrown at each other. But yeah, I thought
did real games, like play, like put the game, yeah.
Yeah, just a media game. You had members of the media playing against each other. We never got a chance to go against the coaches. They were just sitting there laughing. Usually be a Baroni.
I like this idea from the Celtics. You've fallen in love with the Celtics organization.
I love Joe Mazzulla.
Yes.
I do. I've gotten, every time I see him talk now, he's like, we don't need to do preseason. Agreed. As the Grizzlies get ready to play their fourth preseason game tonight, and it's just like a slog to the start of the regular season. He's like, we don't play preseason. You know, he had the thing about Hugo Gonzalez meeting him where he's at. And then he's doing the media game, and he's like, dude, they're pressing. They're full-court pressing these sorry media members. It's unbelievable. It's so funny. And I didn't realize, like, his staff was all those players, you know? Like, it goes to show you how young he is. He hired, like, Emile Jefferson. I remember watching Emile Jefferson play at Duke. I remember Phil Pressey playing in Missouri. Like, he's hiring former players. He's not hiring, like, you know, just old fogey coaches.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. I'm not saying that I would want smoke whatsoever with the Grizzlies coach or anything like that, but it was just funny to see the dynamic. You got Jaylen Brown and Tatum up there watching and laughing, you know? I mean, it's just good stuff.
Yeah, the Celtics won't be winning anything this year, so
they will not
have a little fun.
Get their, that's what people said. Like,
get your jokes now. Yeah.
This is a sign that the Celtics are going to be terrible, that they wanted to put this game on and beat up on the media members because it's one of the few wins they'll get this year. Mm. I don't know if I agree with that necessarily. I think they'll win games. But
yeah, it'll be a 6-7 seed.
But yeah, it definitely feels like it's going to be, relative to what we're accustomed to seeing from the Boston Celtics, it is going to be a, you know, a down year. But anyway, I saw that and I'm like, you know, it's just, it's an organization that kind of gets it, right? Like, they're playing our back center. Like, that must have been a real, you had Celtics reporters talk about how much of an honor and a privilege it was to be able to participate in that, you know?
Not the old guys, I'm sure.
Oh, that's got to be you'll never forget that.
That wasn't at the TD Garden, but I mean,
I guarantee you, Bob Ryan wasn't out there.
There was some old fogey out there. I don't know who it was.
It couldn't have been Bob. No way.
But it was not Bob.
You don't need to be out there.
It was definitely not Bob, but it was
let the young media folks have a good time out there.
And that's what it was.
Yeah, and that's what I'd have done.
Kari Thompson? Remember him?
Yeah.
He was out there. He scored.
Man, bro, like 7-1.
Yeah, he's out there looking like Michael Orr. I ain't going to lie to you.
Yeah.
But
he's got a big old body on him.
Yeah, he scored. He got an offensive rebound and a putback. It was one of the 4 points.
He was kind of like our Chris Harrington, you know, back in my day. Big Chris just lumbered around out there.
Right.
Yeah, he was huge compared to us.
And now, you know, Harrington obviously splits time between Memphis and Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Harrington was out there for some of those media games.
I'm sure he was. Yeah. And then,
big body.
You had the
don't want to match up against him. You need J.B. Riefsnyder to put on him.
Man,
ooh.
Now
there's a reference.
Let him back down, Chris Harrington.
JB,
JB Riefsnyder, man, what a legend!
Yeah. Syracuse's finest.
I believe played with the now lost Lawrence Moten.
Yes. He did.
Yep. He did.
He did.
Hate that. Rest in peace.
Yeah, you could always tell the old guys. You know, like he, we got a chance to play with him at Woodland. JB was just a stretch five.
He you know, one of the things when you play with these old big men is they love to get out there on a perimeter. They love
show you
hovering.
The skill. Big cats out there.
Their days of beating you up in they're over. They don't,
because he can just stand there and rebound.
Well, he doesn't need to post up Brad Carson or John Martin.
No, like, nothing to prove there.
He just needs
no victory in that.
No, there's no trust me.
It's the truth. So I mean, I think that's exactly what it is. It's just
I wish I still had any sort of skill to walk on a court.
You can walk on a court. You don't need to. You don't need to limit yourself. You don't need to
get on back out there and kiss half court.
Nah, My days are over.
I will say,
you'll hurt yourself.
I will say this. I got this membership to Lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, new. You know, it's not new, but it's like all big and fancy.
They got a big ass court.
And they're one of the few gyms in Memphis that's still, you know, in the Memphis area that still offer the basketball court. And I got out there, and I was out there last night, and I was playing well, and I was keeping up, and I'm doing, but I got about an hour.
And that's it.
I got about an hour before it's time for.
Y'all do 5-on-5?
I do. Well, it's 4-on-4 half court because, you know, the gym is usually used by somebody else, right? I love doing full court 5-on-5. We don't get that opportunity a ton because it is a public gym. But, you know, 4-on-4, going hard, you know, running around, I give you about an hour. I can't do more than that.
It's a lot.
It's time for me to go after that, that 1 hour. So, again, I'm never going to quit, though. I'm never going to quit. Even if I'm out, I'll probably actually quit when I start to. You remember, Jason, when you did the tryout and you did the bob and weave and you could start to see the guys get frustrated with you. They're like, oh, man, who is this dude? They don't even know how to do it. Whatever happened.
Yeah, it's a joke.
That's when I'll quit. Yeah. That's when I'll say, all right, it's time for me to like get on the stair stepper or something.
That's what Belichick should do. Once you are the butt of the joke, you need to feel it and get out.
That's right. And in fairness to you, that was not a serious tryout. I mean, you were not actually
right.
I was
making a laughing stock of something
that's serious
for these men.
Didn't you do a
who
pep
had
talk?
Traveled miles.
We do this story.
Y'all love this story. Y'all love
that's how you got to
Grimsby.
Forget it. That's how you got the job at Grimsby back in the day.
As a season ticket holder, I was called up to tell these men about how excited I was to watch them if they made it.
See, even
this
you
was
being
a tryout for them.
Even you being a season ticket holder was a joke.
Cyprian didn't let not one of them, even a brother that had been on a bus half a day from Texas, none of them made it.
None of them made it.
Zero.
So my speech inspired no one. I'm out there doing layups with, you know, 25, 24-year-olds that really still, you know, got trying
to like, this is like their opportunity.
Yeah, this is their shot. This is their last shot
in some of these cases.
Well, in fairness, that's how seriously the hustle took it, that they gave Jason a spot in the damn thing.
It was a joke.
I mean, come on now. Yeah, and if you go back, so this is when you were so excited to, you know, get the show and get the new radio money. Like you were just like, let me get the season tickets as a joke, you know. And
I don't think it was a joke at the time. He was all in on it. No, he was not.
He was way more
expensive than I thought they were going to be.
We did country night down there. You and I went down there.
And then remember, for my money, I wasn't even front row. All a bunch of empty front row seats, but I'm not
sitting. That's facts.
You didn't have one of them.
Right.
That's facts.
Now, y'all ain't selling those, so you need to upgrade the ones that you got the cash for.
Brad.
Upgrade me.
Brad.
I'm now front row.
He paid for season tickets for the Memphis Hustle.
I'll never forget it.
The only season tickets I've ever bought.
It is
funny.
Not
Cubs, not Bears, not Packers, like with season ticket stuff. I bought Hustle.
The people who are just new to this Jason and John experience should know, 9 years ago, before there was a show, there was the two of y'all and your relationship and that basketball game at Woodland where I saw two men, Jason and a John, and I said, these guys could work together. I saw it right there in that gym.
I don't think there's any way that's true.
That is 100% true. Ask anybody. That's the story I always refer to. I said, before they got the show, I said, I saw him in that gym, and you guys were going back and forth, if you recall.
Like, I don't remember it at all.
Yeah,
I
mean, there was a little bit of, like, get your happy ass over on defense. You know, there was a little bit of that coming from the other side.
Do you think that is true?
Oh, he's like my mom. He embellishes, exaggerates stories.
I saw it with my own two eyes.
I mean, I think if you put Jason and I together because we were the OGs of podcasting.
But you had the talent to back it up.
We did the podcasting before anybody did podcasting. We were doing podcasts with Gary Robinson at the CA offices in 2012.
Jason, when we were talking to Jason, Jason goes, I'm actually doing a couple of podcasts.
You were doing a podcast with Blue Balls.
Yes. Wasn't Rick Trotter your number one pick?
Rick was not a candidate for the midday show.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
In fact,
I'm just
we had
saying,
to
I was
eradicate
down.
His voice. And,
I'm on down. I'm kidding. And I shouldn't have brought that up.
Rest in
I'm
peace.
Just kidding.
No, he's not
my
dead.
Point was
he's
that
I'm
I
sorry.
Wasn't
his career
wherever
you might be.
We should move to run.
Yeah, let's hit the. We're deep.
No.
Thank you. Rick Trotter.
I hadn't said those words in a while.
Well, something just innate brought that out.
We're moving on. And we're discussing NBA. Kevin Pelton's run some simulations over at ESPN, and boy, oh boy, what 620 pumped out. Pretty sure it's simulation number 620.
Okay.
You're going to love it for the Grizzlies.
I'm excited. Now, it took 620 simulations to get here?
Now, yeah, I think he runs them. He just picked one that was interesting. Okay, his computer spits out these results for who's going to finish finals, win it all, records, all of it. Okay?
Yes.
And we landed on this one that he rolled out to the people over at ESPN.com. Guys, this computer projection is higher on the Grizzlies than Anthony Sain is. And let
that's
me tell you,
not
that's
possible.
In the clouds.
Wow. That's way up there.
Again, that is not possible.
Sain turns out correct. We can call him the prophet. Heck, on many things I already do. They've got the Grizzlies 51-31, fourth in the West. Remember, season total is 39.5.
Wow!
So this would blow the season win total out of the water if they do. Now, my son runs simulations on 2K, so I know about simulations. You don't have to finish the regular season game. You just have the computer finish it out. And so what I'm thinking, if the Grizzlies are going to win 51 games this regular season, man, they got Ja 99, Jaren's a 99, Cedric Coward's a 98. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On somebody to have this kind of they've got the Grizzlies as the 2 seed in the play-in because of the start that they will be off to by that time, and again finishing fourth in the West. Now here's the issue with this. If this would be a bad turnout. And they've got it losing to the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs in the 5-4 matchup, 4-2. You would obviously have home court advantage in that. And then as a result, well, you don't have a lottery pick, right? Because you're out, obviously, having made the playoffs, and you're out first round. And they go ahead and run through a simulation of what the lottery's going to look like, and they've got Phoenix just missing the playoffs because they were in the play-in and got dispatched. So that Phoenix pick, you know, in the 13-14 range, I think is where it had it. So while, sure, we'd love Grizzlies, hey, 51-31, top four, that outcome, get dispatched in the first round, which could be likely. I mean, it could be possible. The West is loaded. A 5 could take out a 4. Yeah, that's great. But if you are a 4 seed, boy, you better hope you're advancing, because in that case, remember, we've talked about it. If Grizzlies missed the playoffs, if Phoenix is bad, you got a chance at two lottery picks, maybe one of them really high with Phoenix's. And so, and really an outcome I prefer, to be honest with you, over a first-round playoff exit.
Yeah.
That said, I'm not, you know, if this computer thing turns out right, Grizzlies win 51 games, I'm not going to be mad at it. Hey, you don't have to lose in the first round just because the projection says so. I do have a hard time with seeing the Grizzlies at 51 wins, which is way off from what Vegas, what most of us think. There are some here locally, we've mentioned, Sain, that are high on the Grizzlies. I don't even know if Sain's this high, but fourth, I do think he's got him as a, you know, in that 4-6 range. But at least one computer, at least one simulation, spit out the Grizzlies as your 4 seed in the West. As for the championship, it spit out the Orlando Magic with newly acquired Desmond Bane beating the Golden State Warriors 4-3.
Rise up, finals. Orlando! Rise up!
Yep. Had those two as the 1 seeds in the East and West, if I'm not mistaken.
51-31 would be, a fever dream, damn near.
It would put Isolo in coach of the year consideration, I would say, when you've gone from a big 3 to a big 2 in your top 4 in the West still.
Yeah, I mean, look at the rest of like his simulation. Like, he's got the Raptors at 41-34. That coach would probably be the former Grizz assistant, Darko. I mean, 40, he'd take them from a cellar dweller to 41 wins. You know, he'd be
What would that get you? 1, 2,
46
3, 4,
and 36.
5, 6th in the East if they did that. It'd be a consideration the same way, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, what about Orlando if they go up to number 1 in the East?
Jamal Mosley.
Jamal Mosley's going to
win it, No doubt.
From where they were.
I mean, look, you can't say you can't say that 51-31 is impossible. It's not impossible.
Is it not impossible for Golden State to have a better record than the OKC Thunder, which they've got?
I think that's outrageous.
That feels impossible to me, Golden State being the 1 seed at 56-19?
Yeah. Why on earth would we think the Golden State Warriors are going to win 63 games? Did they, like, travel back in time to 2017 again? Like, I mean, that seems crazy to me. And I love Steph, but, like, they're old. They're an old team. They're not going to take the, you know, regular season seriously in that way.
Horford has even added to their age.
Dude, their core is like Steph, Draymond, and now Horford. I mean, that's their core. So, like, why? I mean, Kuminga, I know they brought back for some reason, but I think they're going to trade him.
This thing's got the Suns as a 500 team, which I'm rooting against. But
right.
as we've looked
it.
At that roster now,
yeah.
in this West, where there's four, at least four bad teams in this West at the bottom. Phoenix could end up, you know, being there.
I mean, I think this model is drunk as hell.
Well, that was the most of our immediate reaction to
it. Yeah, because he's got the Cavs. He's got the Cavs 44-38, going from the one seed in the East to now the seventh seed in the play-in. I don't see any world where that happens, where Toronto's ahead of Cleveland.
They'd have to be injury ravaged.
I don't see it. Golden State's not winning anywhere close to 63 games. You know, the Trailblazers are above 500, but the Spurs aren't.
He's also got the Pistons regressing. 36-46, yeah. Going back down. Why would that happen?
So, I mean, look.
Out of the picture again.
So he ran a billion scenarios, and this is one of them. I think it has basically no value because it's just one simulation. The value is, like, if you run 1,000 simulations, and it's like, what's the most common, right? Like, if you just weighted every single one equally.
He chose this one because of its, quote, interesting outcomes. What you've got is a lot of fluky outcomes.
So to me, this is just like a waste of time in a way, because it's like you just chose one simulation out of literally hundreds that you thought would be good. You know what? But the model itself, the simulation model itself, is going to be boring because it's going to be mostly the teams that we expect to be where they are. You know, so I mean, again, it's fun to dream about the Grizzlies being 51-31, but that would be like, what, 12, 13 games over their projected win total? They have gone over their win totals. I mean, that is the one thing about the Grizzlies. They always seem to do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
even in a down year last year, they did it.
Right. So I guess you can't necessarily rule it out, but I think that's extremely outperforming, right? I mean, 51 wins with a win total of 39.5, that's like something had to, like somebody got hurt in the West, you know, and it changed their season. I feel very confident. Dude, he's got the Lakers 32-44.
There's another interesting one to me where he's got Minnesota as the 7 seed, losing to the 8 seed Portland in the play-in, and then the Kings as a 10 beating the Timberwolves and putting them out of playoff contention. Timberwolves out?
Yeah, that's
like
nuts.
Losing to the Blazers and the Kings?
Yeah.
That's again, this one's fluky. I would have, you know, what would have been, I think, of some value is show us the average out of those 620 simulations, and okay, now I'm working with something. Now I got a large sample size, and I want that average, and I'd feel a lot better about the data. This he clearly says it because of the interesting outcomes is why he laid it out. It's you're going to have a lot of reaction to this, a lot of it the kind of reaction John and I have.
Yes.
What? Huh?
Yes.
Clicking on it, and that's what they wanted. Not sure, to John's point, that this is very useful in the sense that it's some projection that we can even put any stock in.
By the way, while we're talking about the NBA, I saw that I don't know if you noticed this, but Topps is the new license for the NBA trading cards. So it used to be Panini. Mm-hmm. Now they've lost it. It's now going to Topps, and their NFL license is going back to Topps as well. Kind of a nerdy thing. I think the industry, the space, and I don't really do the trading cards as much as I got into it for like 3 months, and then I kind of got out of it. You know, learned some very difficult lessons in the midst of that. But Topps is going to have, in all these rookies like Cedric Howard, Cooper Flagg, etc., their first game, you'll notice this, they're going to have on debut patches. They will have like a patch on their jersey that says NBA debut. And they're going to cut that out and they're going to put it on a trading card. Topps is like an autograph, one of one. Ooh. And you're going to have the debut patch. So that player's first ever game. It's going to be in packs.
Cool.
I mean, imagine if you pull Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant blend debut patch.
No, you won't.
That'd
but
be
imagine if you did.
$1 billion? Where do we start the bidding? Well, I mean, with Cooper Flagg's for sure, right? Cooper Flagg's debut patch. I don't know if you guys have seen him in preseason. He looks unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think doubting Dallas as a top 10 team is not wise.
Yeah, because we've talked about this a million times with Cooper Flagg, but he's going to bring defense.
Right.
And
this is not a team that will have to rely on D'Angelo. I know some have said, well, he's a joke, putting him at the point to sort of, you know, be this gap till you get to Kyrie. He's not going to be dependent upon.
No, he's not.
Job, just get the ball out, right? I mean, they're going to be a good defensive team. And a lot will come down to health with Anthony Davis, but there's potential with that Dallas team. They are big.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I know about Dallas.
There was an ESPN article today about Cooper Flagg, about how he put the league on notice before he ever played a game, from Tim McMahon. And it's talking about that
Team USA thing.
Yeah.
We have been talking about that
because
we know.
Yeah.
Kyrie was doing it as a young man.
Yep.
When you're doing that and you're cutting the throats of the of the best players in the world, the ones representing the USA, like, and there's no fear?
Yeah.
No, you coming in the league not just ready, you're gonna play at a really high level. And that's the thing. Dallas is not trying to make him the face right now. They're not gonna say go score 30 a game. He's gonna get it, be able to grow and grow into that role. And eventually, yes, you'll build it around him. He will be the face.
Absolutely.
So I need it right off top.
So that's all happening, man. That is all happening.
I believe in Dallas, just not as a, I don't think a top four, but certainly a team that's going to be in the thick of things.
Yep, absolutely. So there's this account on Twitter. It's Ricky Scoops. He's a dog. It's like a dog. It's a picture of a dog with a hat, an NFL hat. It's kind of a meme, but he gets stuff right. He gets, like, trade stuff right. And he is back. He had deactivated his account after he got the Micah Parsons trade correct. He said the Packers were calling about Micah Parsons and that a deal was in the works. He ended up being correct on that. And he deactivated his account on August 28th. He has since reactivated it today. He is back. And he is back with this following news. Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Myers is being traded out of town and will not be in the silver and black much longer. And then he follows that up by saying, the Patriots have been on the phone with teams and are aggressively looking to trade for a wide receiver before the deadline. Sounds like Drake May be getting another weapon. I don't know that the two things are related, but I would assume that the two things are related. Jacoby Myers came from New England. He has not had a good year in Las Vegas at all. Nobody's had a good year in Las Vegas offensively because the criticism is Chip Kelly's scheme. That is, you can't have a Chip Kelly scheme in 2025. Also that the Dolphins are shopping Jalen Phillips, their defensive lineman. And teams are also calling about Bradley Chubb, Jalen Waddle, and Devon Achane, which, you know, for one of us, that would be big news if, you know, because one of us is really dependent on those touches a game with Devon Achane.
No doubt.
And if he goes to a real team, he may have to work as part of a, you know, a system. I don't know. He also adds, finally, that the Saints are open to trading Chris Olave, and they're listening to trade calls. So which of those moves do you think could be, like, the biggest fork if a contender makes a move for one of those guys? Like, who adds the most?
I don't know. With the Patriots' position now being first in the AFC East, getting Drake May more help, getting him more weapons.
That's tough. Now Stephon Diggs has a little bit of help.
You know, I wonder if that helps them with their run game where Stevenson, Ramondre, and Travion Henderson haven't been able to do anything yet. Does it open it up a little bit?
Man,
you know, having another weapon out there. Diggs has been good. They could use another. And I just, you know, you can see it with Vrabel. They're building confidence. They're starting to think, you know what, it might be our turn as opposed to we've arrived, especially as it relates to the AFC East. So that's the one to me. They're Patriots are dangerous, especially once they stop turning the ball over.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they're doing that and still winning.
Yeah, they will be a
Jacoby,
problem.
Like, as you point out, he still got some juice. What, he'd be going back, right? Didn't he come from there to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's usually, like, you know, when that happens, tends to work out pretty well for the player and the team. So we'll see what they get. I'm not sure what Jacoby Myers would fetch in 2020, like a sixth rounder or something like that. I mean, just nothing really. So it does. If he does get moved, it does obviously improve the stock of Trey Tucker and Brock Bowers if he ever decides to play again. Not sure that he will, but it would help those two guys exponentially. So anyway, Ricky Scoops, man, he's back. We'll see how he fares in this one, but maybe Chris Olave on the move, Jacoby Myers on the move, Jalen Phillips from Miami on the move. Miami could be doing a fire sale. Why wouldn't they?
It's time.
You know? Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Fire McDaniel and just start over. I just, you know, and McDaniel will be fine. He'll get an OC job somewhere. And
I wonder about is it still Chris Greer, their GM? He's sort of presided over some of this stuff, and
right.
It's become an absolute joke. I'm re-signing Tua.
It is him.
I think it's Chris Greer. They have to look at that level and whether he's had enough time and not gotten it done.
Yeah.
It might need to go above the head coach because he picked Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
clearly not a leader of men. He is he's an offensive brain.
Yep.
Is what he is.
Yep. So anyway, that is the latest from our NFL insider, the dog profile picture, Ricky Scoops.
So we did have some more NFL today. Yesterday we discussed Mel Kiper's first top 25 big board. It was not a mock draft, but a ranking of his top 25 prospects. And what we pulled from that, in terms of the more interesting things, was that, you know, John, while his team might be bad, it's not going to be bad enough to have a shot at what it feels like are the top two quarterbacks. And we've got our first actual mock draft from ESPN this morning. Jordan Reed did it. And it, those top two quarterbacks, the same guys we mentioned that Mel had high, Fernando Mendoza, Reed has got going number one to the Jets, who right now he's got projected as the number one pick. And the Jets obviously would need a quarterback. And then the other one, Dante Moore, who we talked about. Now, Mel had Dante Moore ranked number one in terms of talent. That was, again, a talent ranking according to Mel, not a mock. They've got him going number three. You'd not guess to who. You'd never guess it.
Who is it?
They just took two rookie quarterbacks in the past draft.
The Browns.
The Cleveland Browns selecting Dante Moore.
What?
I guess you got to keep trying until you find him.
Yes, that's the end.
But are you assuming that you went through the rest of the season you didn't like Dylan? Remember, we want to see Shadur at some point during the rest of the season.
You're going to see Shadur. You're going to see Shadur.
I mean, Shadur, again, if he's had time with the completion percentage that he's had, we've saw one preseason game where he was decent.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to make a decision on limited info.
You talk about a waste of a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick the year before. I want the GM's head. You understand what I'm saying?
Totally.
Like, what a waste.
Totally.
I get it. Keep looking for your guy. But
dude, you got a hit
to spend that kind of draft capital and to have missed and then to be spending another first rounder, in this case three. I mean, I get the need to find the next guy, but that would be wasteful. You got to right now they're stuck if they're sticking with this GM finding the guy between Dylan Gabriel and Shadur to me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm firing the GM and then saying, yes, do you want to go after Dante Moore? We'll clean this whole thing up. Back to the point, John, they've got you taking down at nine, like we talked about, not among the top three, top four, because you've won a little too much. The guy we nailed. We said you'd choose between Ty Simpson and Lenore Sellers. And they've got you taking Lenore Sellers, the quarterback out of South Carolina. Would you be happy at nine with him?
Yeah. I mean, I will just tell myself that it was a South Carolina problem as opposed to a Lenore Sellers problem. I mean, it's hard to argue with the physical.
6'3", 240. As Reed writes, the skill set is awesome, but there are mixed opinions on Sellers, who has struggled in South Carolina's disappointing offense. Hasn't played round one caliber ball this year, but as an NFC assistant GM told me, in this case Jordan Reed, the traits will convince someone to take him early.
Totally.
If that's the Raiders, they'll need to show patience. Is it going to convince Tom Brady? There were traits with Shadur Sanders. Tom Brady said, no, there's something else. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he's regressed this year. There's no doubt about that. Had 18 touchdowns, 7 picks last year. Not anywhere close to that this year. There's no question. But, I mean, he is a freak of nature. I mean, he's 6'3", 240, arm strength out the, you know. I don't know what South Carolina's receiving core looks like. I watched that LSU game on Saturday night, and it was just – I mean, both those teams look terrible. I don't want either quarterback. I mean, I'll sell myself on Sellers. I cannot sell myself on Nussmeier. I mean, he has really regressed. I mean, because he's the senior, right? He's the guy that's
– Yeah, he's supposed, for 4,000 yards last year.
Yeah. He and I know people are like, oblique, you know, like, well, he's out there. All right? He's out there. And if you're going to – that's what I say about Mateer. If you're going to play – You're gonna get evaluated, and I mean, you know, and in terms of, I don't want any part of Mateer because I don't think he has the looks of an NFL quarterback. I don't think he has the chops. And then Nussmeier, I would have said after last year, certainly, but something is wrong this year. Now again, like I'm willing to do with Sellers, maybe we could point to the system and say that the system is bad, that Brian Kelly is bad, or I could point to the fact that like Nussmeier's been in college for 5 years. And this is more like the other 3 years as opposed to last year. So, I don't know. These are the hard parts of drafting quarterback. You know, there's no obvious guy. Even Dante Moore, like, would I be – is that a home run? No question about it. He's going to be a good quarterback? I don't think so.
Mendoza?
You know, that's your guy. Why don't you take him?
No, let Frank take him. I don't know about Mendoza.
Yeah.
I like his, you know, his willingness to lay it all out on the line.
I
think he might be a leader of men.
But. I can talk myself into a lot of guys. Lenoris would be the easiest one. Dante Moore, I guess, but I don't know anything about him. I don't, you know, he's an underwhelming-ish Oregon team.
Well, number two, they've got the Baltimore Ravens making this selection, which will not happen. Right now, this is based on position. The Ravens are, 1-5? Lamar Jackson's coming back.
Yes.
The Ravens will not be drafting this high, but they've got Reuben Bain Jr., the edge out of Miami. John and I have talked about him. He's game wrecker.
Right.
And he will go high. He will be a top-5 pick. Caleb Downs, the stud safety for Ohio State, going to the Dolphins. Quarterbacks are usually what we're most interested in. The third in the first round, we mentioned it would be Lenore Sellers to number 9. And then you got to go all the way down. And maybe this will be some indication, maybe not. Usually we have risers by the time we get to the draft. But you got to go all the way down to 30 to get the fourth quarterback taken on the board, Ty Simpson. They have the Steelers taking him, which would be smart in the
sense that I think he's actually
a future quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, it, depending upon if Aaron Rodgers finishes this season, you want to do another year with him, but having the future underneath Aaron Rodgers would seem to make a lot of sense going in and getting your next QB. Again, I'd be careful with Mike Tomlin, who liked Pickett.
Yes, he did.
So I just I don't know about how much input I'm letting Mike Tomlin have in that decision. GM's obviously going to matter.
Yep.
There, what is it, Khan? Either way, Steelers, it's got taking a quarterback at 30, but four QBs in the first round. John would be happy with Lenore Sellers.
I'd be happy with Ty Simpson, too. I can talk myself in him.
Yeah.
He's not sexy. He's not, you know.
Big drop off from 9 to 30.
It is.
But what you do have is a lot of teams that don't need a quarterback.
That's right.
So that's part of the reason why.
Everybody's been taking them the last 2 years. I mean, my God.
Yes.
So
a lot of people got young QBs.
Ty Simpson, a Martin, Tennessee native.
Did not know that.
Yeah, right up the corner, right up the street.
And the coach at UT, he's the UT Martin coach. His dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. That's good info, bro.
Did he ever play for his dad?
No. I don't believe so.
Too good.
I know, but can you not give me a year, son?
No. I got to get this NIL,
head football coach at UT Martin Skyhawks. His name is Jason Simpson.
Dad, I'm gonna go get this NIL, make more money than you do with Skyhawks.
His brother, I believe, is quarterback at Westview. Martin Westview.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to who's our guy from the Raiders that's on our fantasy. I was talking to
Dan.
Dan and I talked about it at the Touchdown Club on Monday, and Dan said this program and the brother might be better. And the other guy's a draft pick. He's like a first rounder. Like his brother is right there with him.
Well,
like, also awesome.
That's crazy because I would say, son, you're gonna play for me for a year.
You're not limiting Dom's earning potential by making him play for your sorry tail.
If it means I might
program,
have a chance to move up in the coaching ranks, hell yeah, I'm gonna use that. You're gonna give me a year or two, son. It's the least you could do. I paid for all them damn trips. I paid for all those camps.
You go get the job using him. You go get a job as Alabama's offense coordinator, offensive analyst, or something.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your son gets paid.
That's good.
Are Graham's offers so far for Graham Simpson. This is Ty Simpson's brother, who's a sophomore at Westview. Alabama is cool. Arizona, Arkansas, Auburn, and Boston College.
Hey, man, I flubbed this up with my first one. I have to go full Keelan here. You can have my son if you hire me as the OC.
You sound like you're gonna drop the bag, fumble it like Nico Daddy.
That's
what it sounds like. We got a young Nico father here.
Hell no. We ain't going from Knoxville to L.A. taking a pay cut.
P.J. Haggerty's dad over here.
Leverage, man.
No chance.
Mm-hmm.
No chance. Hey, you want my guy? No problem. You want my son? You're going to have to give me a job, an assistant job or something.
Now you're thinking.
Let me climb up the ladder.
This is a better plan.
All right, fine. I'll resign from UT Martin.
And son gets paid, which means family gets paid.
Yeah. But I got two. It's literally just like Keelan. It's like I got two sons that are going to be awesome football players.
Yeah, but then you got coming in, and he just doesn't care.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he.
You see what happened to him?
He got the, you know, he overplayed his hand.
He did. That was a dumb idea.
So I would say, yeah, you know, you want my kids? You got to bring me on for 5 years on your staff. You know, pay me whatever, $300 a year. Let me have a real role.
$300 a year, that's nothing.
I know, but
SEC.
Like, well, they're not going to probably give me like a real OC job, though. They're going to give me like a fake job, but that's fine. I'll give me a fake job for $300,000 a year for the next however long my kids are. And by the way, we will be renegotiating when they get here because we will threaten to transfer. And so that $300 was just a start. I'm just trying to get it in the door.
Right.
So then it will go up to $500 or $750 or whatever the case may be, but depending on how good my kids are, right?
Yeah.
And so we will continue to. It will be a one-year employment agreement. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It will be a year-to-year transaction.
Cool.
That's a good plan. What's Jason Simpson?
Graham Simpson is his brother, Ty's brother, who's a sophomore. He was the player of the year for Max Preps last year.
Yeah, Jason
as
Simpson.
As a freshman.
He's got a beast. He needs to take advantage of that, okay? We're not in the, you know, good old days anymore. We're in the business's cold days.
Doesn't sound like Dad's going to coach either one of them.
Nope.
Crazy. All right, we'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 125. We'll talk Titans, NFL, game day with him, and more. J&J, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Come on, ride this train over to Leaders Credit Union. Get on the train. I'm on. Smith family's on it. We got little Chris hooked up with a Future Leaders savings account. We're part of the family now. And Chris is learning how his money can grow. The point of saving and what you get when you keep that money in your account. And that's the great thing about Leaders. They'll do it from, you know, baby stage. We can teach them. They want to be there every step of the way of your financial journey. We'll literally start for you as a kid, as they've done with CJ. But you're an adult. You got things. You got, you know, a mortgage. Maybe you want a better rate on than what you've had. Car loan, those kinds of things. Well, check out Leaders. In a lot of cases, you're going to get a better rate. Maybe even in most cases, you're going to get a better rate with Leaders as a credit union than you are with your bank. So if your bank's not doing enough for you, you definitely need to check out Leaders. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to see all they can do for you. Could even get you with a Compass Black credit card. Take care of all those extra fall expenses while you enjoy 3% cash back on every purchase and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. So lots of options at Leaders. And remember, they want to be there every step of the way with you. October's financial planning month. They've got plenty of financial champions love to help you with your situation. They've got the answers to your financial questions. Don't let them go unanswered. Again, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Leaders is federally insured by NCUA.
Preseason action tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies. I can tell you that I do have a little bit of information on this game. Do not expect the preseason plum. If you're one of those people out there that was expecting the preseason plum jacket to make an appearance, don't. You know, that's a special thing, and you're not going to get that every week. You know, you lose a little bit of the value if you get that every single week, and I think that's one place we can start. But, again, if we're going to play these games, you got to try to get something out of them, and I guess it all comes down to C-squared, Cedric Howard. That's it. Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter entertainer.
I just feel like, and clearly the Grizzlies have been an organization that's going to proceed with caution when it comes to injuries. That said, Isolo must feel like he's got a really good handle on how things are going to look once Ja's out there, once Jaren's out there. Because, again, we've talked about it. There's an opportunity, it feels like, with this early season schedule to take advantage of it and maybe get yourself off to a start. Could be advantageous for you later on when things get a little tougher. And if you are learning on the fly, if you are still, you know, sort of implementing things to start the regular season, which next Wednesday, guys, you know, it's for real against the Pelicans. Well, in many ways, you've already, we talked about it with Benson earlier this week, Jessica Benson. You've set yourself back. I mean, you've given everybody else a head start. They're playing their starters right now in the preseason. You have not playing the two guys that are your key cogs that you're building everything around. And so, and clearly Isolo, having been in practice and those kinds of things, will have a better grip on it. But I'm just, I'm so, you know, I'm concerned that an opportunity that might be there early season to, you know, grab this thing by the horns, get yourself off to a good, confident start where everybody's believing in Isolo's new system, you know, might be because you, in many ways, still be experimenting if these guys just come in. So I say that to say, and it doesn't feel like it certainly hasn't been any news today. I was kind of hoping there might be. It would be nice to see Ja Morant in one of these final two preseason games. I'm not – Jaren, that's one thing we saw last year.
Right.
You know, Jaren came back very quickly after the – and was just fine. It's not Jaren I'm as concerned. It's Ja setting the tone and the speed. Speed kills. That's been the Grizzlies' theme all preseason.
Kill.
Well, right now it's been Ty Jerome speed, you know. And it's one thing to do it in practice against your own guys. It's another thing to do it against the Pistons, the Hawks, these teams you've played in the preseason, and you haven't been able to do that. So when you've got the Pelicans next Wednesday, Ja's first time, Cedric ain't played at that speed yet against competition, against teams that, hey, they played their starters in the preseason.
Yep.
They're a little bit more together to start things off. And, you know, that's we've seen the Grizzlies have slow starts, bounce back from that, but these are not those same Grizzlies. This is a big two, not a big three. Things have changed. Yes, we feel good about KCP and Ty Jerome and sort of filling the void, that gap you lose with Desmond Bane in terms of offensively, but you'll be finding a new way to win. And you'll be sort of, in many ways, still figuring that out once the season starts next Wednesday if you haven't seen anything, you know, from Ja. Would have been nice to get him in there for once.
It would have.
Specifically, since he seems to say he feels fine.
Yes. Yes. No, you're right. I mean, I'm going to trust.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.